Shoes.
Recorded live.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the 90-Day Jumpstart to a New You. This is Donna Partow, and together we've been studying my book, Becoming the Woman God Wants Me to Be, Becoming the Woman God Wants Me to Be, and it's a 90-day guide to living the Proverbs 31 life. And the book is meant to be a jump start. It's meant to get you thinking about a wide variety of topics and to give you a place that you can come back to again and again and again as you want to deal with different topics in greater depth. This week, we are on week seven. Week seven, yeah, we've passed the halfway point, sisters. We're heading into the home stretch here. That's what's happening. And this is a kind of a light week. Well, I don't know. It might be a lot of work for you if you really take this seriously and begin to purge your wardrobe, which I think is a powerful thing to do. But I don't have too much to share this evening. Those of you who received my email know that I have an obligation with my young 13-year-old daughter. She has an audition to be part of a dance troupe, and mom has got to go be the mom. So we will have to cut this short this evening. But next week, we'll be doing home business, and those of you who know, that is my great passion, and I've been part of the home business movement for 20 years now. Back when dinosaurs still roamed the earth, I was working at home, and I have just completed a complete rewrite, I mean from cover to cover, of my book, Homemade Business, A Woman's Step-by-Step Guide to Earning Money at Home. And to compensate for cutting this week's teleseminar short, I am going to send to every one of you who emails me, donna@donnapartow.com, I'm going to email you a complete PDF of the entire book, and I'm also going to give you free access to the upcoming class that I've been authorized by Focus on the Family to go ahead and teach it even before it releases in April of 2010. I'm going to teach it online. And because you're part of this class, I'm going to give you free access to that class. And I think it's going to be absolutely spectacular. It's one of my passions, something I've put a lot of time and research into, and so I am looking forward to that. But for this evening, our topic is our personal appearance. Let me go ahead and open with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have made us as women. And I believe that you've placed within the heart of women a desire and an appreciation for beauty, that there's something innately within us that desires to be beautiful, that desires to make our babies beautiful with little bows in their hair and little tuxedos on them. We desire to make our home beautiful. Some of us even desire to make food look beautiful. I believe you've put it into the heart of a woman, and I believe it's a reflection of who you are. I mean, you are the creator God, and you made us in your image, and you could have made this world any way you want it. You could have made it all asphalt from the beginning, but you didn't. You filled it with beauty, with mountains and valleys and rivers and flowers of every color. I mean, flowers could have been just one color, but no, you made fields of fabulous, radiant flowers, and you fill the earth with so much beauty, God, because you are a lover of beauty. And I believe that one way that we, as women created in the image of God, reflect your character and your nature is by our love of beauty. And Lord, of course, as always, we want to be in balance. We don't want to be vain. We don't want to be obsessed with our personal appearance. But I believe it is absolutely okay. I believe it's perfectly natural for a woman to want to be beautiful, and especially to be beautiful in the eyes of her husband. And so I pray that this evening you would give us a wisdom and revelation concerning the topic of our personal appearance as women who desire to become those that you would have us to be. And I ask you to do this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, sisters, I don't know how many of you were able to read today's reading, but I think I'm going to go ahead and read this passage aloud. It's not something I typically do on our teleseminars, but in case some of you have not read it, I almost fell over. I was actually on an airplane flying to Panama the first time this verse really jumped out and grabbed a hold of me. And, no, excuse me, it was actually on the way home from a trip to Panama, and there was a girl on our team who wanted to be a clothing designer, and she was struggling with whether or not that was a spiritual enough thing to want to do. She was a gal, named Sarah, and she's been on a lot of mission trips, in fact, two with me, and is a delightful young woman, and we keep in touch. But she was struggling with, okay, is this passion for fashion, is it from God? Is it something that pleases God? And as we were flying home from Panama, the Lord gave me this passage to impart to her. And it's Ezekiel 16:10-14. This is God speaking to the daughters of Israel. And he says, I clothed you. Repeat after me. I clothed you. God, okay? So these are the outfits. God is the personal shopper. God goes out to, you know, the local Jerusalem Mall here, and he picks out outfits for the Israeli women. Now, I hope you're sitting down, because I was leaping out of my chair on the plane when I read this. I clothed you with an embroidered dress and put leather sandals on you. I dressed you in fine linen and covered you with costly garments. I mean, I love Walmart, but this doesn't sound like Walmart, does it? An embroidered dress, leather sandals, fine linen, costly, expensive, designer chic. Kind of sounds like the Proverbs 31 woman, doesn't it? She was dressed in fine linen and silk and purple, the most expensive cloth of that time was purple, because it was very expensive to get that dye. So she was in the most expensive clothes available. That's what the Bible makes it a point to tell us about the Proverbs 31 woman. I know this is kind of shaking some of your preconceived religious ideas of what the Bible teaches, but I'm reading you right from God's word here. I adorned you with jewelry. Yep, God put jewelry on him. He says, I, God, put bracelets on your arms and a necklace around your neck. I put a ring on your nose. Girlfriends, I'm like, what? Nose rings? That's what it says. I put a ring on your nose, earrings on your ears, and a beautiful crown on your head. See, God even topped it off with a tiara. I don't know. What do you think of God's taste? You were adorned with gold and silver. You know, that's the fashion. I was at the airport, and I went into Brighton, which is kind of, you know, somewhere between Walmart and, you know, the real thing. It's kind of nice. And the new thing this season is gold and silver mixed together. So God was ahead of all of that. He was doing this way back in thousands B.C., and Brighton's just doing it for this season. So here he is. So you were adorned with gold and silver. Your clothes were fine linen, costly fabric, embroidered cloth. Your fame spread among the nations on account of your beauty, because the splendor I had given you made your beauty perfect. Declares who? Declares the sovereign Lord. Wow. Wow. Declares the sovereign Lord. God had his women very well dressed. And I know that this is radical, and I know that this is not typically what we perceive as what God would say about the way a woman should dress. And the reason for the confusion, and I would be a coward not to address it, the reason for the confusion is 1 Peter 3, beginning in verse 3. And I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to hit this right head on. It says that your beauty should not come from outward adornment. Now, what we've done in some circles is taken this verse and gone crazy with it and said that the Bible says you have to be frumpy, that the goal for Christian women is to be plain, is to be frumpy, is to wear, you know, out-of-fashion clothes. I mean, I have been homeschooling. Again, I'm not trying to lump anybody in, but I've been homeschooling for 16 years. And again, not to offend anybody, but it's very common in homeschooling circles for women to kind of get the idea that if you're really a devoted wife and mother, you'll look as unattractive as possible. You know, you'll just be frumpy, you'll just be plain, you'll neglect your appearance, you'll be kind of overweight, because your beauty should not come from outward adornment. But does it say you shouldn't be beautiful? It says that your beauty shouldn't come from those things. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair. Now, I'm going to tell you what the Bible's talking about with braided hair. I'm really going to go into this. And the wearing of gold and fine clothes, your beauty shouldn't come from those things. Now, we've just read in the Old Testament that God himself provided those things to the Israeli women and put those things on them. But, of course, they became vain, they became conceited because they were world-renowned as beauties, and they took it to an extreme. What do I say every week? Be well-balanced. Be well-balanced. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. And then it gives the example of Sarah. Well, let's talk about Sarah for a minute. Wasn't Sarah like 80 years old or something when she was so beautiful? She was taken into Pharaoh's harem. And I guarantee you, you can take it to the bank, that Pharaoh's harem did not have any frumpy, unattractive women in it. Pharaoh chose for his harem, if you don't believe me, read the book of Esther and see who the kings of old chose to have around them, or you could just pay attention to People magazine if you're so inclined. Rich, powerful men surround themselves with beautiful women. Some things have never changed, and this is one. In the book of Esther, the king said, I'm powerful, I'm rich, I can have whatever woman I want, and I want a beautiful woman. And that's why they put Esther through 6 months of beauty treatments. So when Pharaoh saw Sarah and said she would fit right in my harem, even in her old age, she was still that beautiful. I don't for one minute believe that she was dressed in sackcloth and ashes. I think Sarah was dressed beautifully. I think she was gorgeous. I think she took care of herself. I think her skin was fabulous. I think her hair was wonderful. I think she was a beautiful, beautiful woman. Otherwise, she would not have been selected by the Pharaoh to be part of his harem. I hope you guys are catching that. You know, I like, a lot of times when I'm studying a verse, I will look it up in different versions. And so I look this up in the Message, which is a paraphrase. I mean, it's not a literal translation, but it's good. It says this: what matters is not your outer appearance, the styling of your hair, the jewelry you wear, the cut of your clothes, but your inner disposition. Okay? Now, the one I really like is the Amplified, because this goes into it. Let not yours be the merely external adorning with elaborate interweaving and knotting of the hair, wearing of jewelry or changes of clothes, but let it be the inward adorning. And now we're getting to it. I want to tell you what the Roman women did to their hair. And I looked this up on the internet. I mean, I was familiar with, but I went into a little bit more depth. One article that I read said the Roman women, you know, that Peter was addressing, their hair was the most elaborate hair in human history, unmatched until the French court of, you know, Marie Antoinette. And if you've seen the recent movie that came out about Marie Antoinette, you saw her hair is like literally a foot high. That was what the Roman women did. And let me tell you a little bit more about the elaborate hairstyles. Of course, they applied perfume to their hair. They had curling tongs. They had hair pieces. They had extensions, basically, back then. They had hair nets made of finely woven gold wires that enabled their hair to stick up literally a foot high in the air or a foot behind them. Gold wire. Are you guys picturing it? Ribbons, garlands of flowers woven into their hair, literal precious jewels, literal gold, pearls, diamonds, tiaras woven into these absolutely enormous, intricate, braided and knotted hairstyles. These hairstyles were always done by slaves, one of the photos that I looked at, and very typical of the time, or, you know, an illustration, I shouldn't say it, but an illustration, four slaves working on this woman's hair at one time. These women would sit for hours every day and have these ridiculous, elaborate, enormous hairstyles that slaves would have to work on for hours. That is what Peter is addressing. He's saying, ladies, you're going crazy. You're giving this way too much time. You know, one of the best kind of well-balanced advice I ever read was way back to Anne Ortlund's Disciplines of the Beautiful Woman, and she said, make sure you spend as much time on the inside as you do on the outside each morning. So in the morning, if you spend 30 minutes with God, you should spend 30 minutes in front of the mirror getting ready. If you spend an hour with God, girlfriend, there you go. You that gives you an extra 30 minutes in front of the mirror. But that is a way, a very practical way, to stay in balance with this. You know, who spends 4 hours every day in God's Word? I mean, I'm sure some women do who are mighty, mighty women of the Word and have full-time staff to run their household. They're able to do that. I think people like Joyce Meyer or Beth Moore who have, you know, many, many, an army of people working for them, they do have the opportunity to probably spend 4 or 5 hours a day, maybe even more, studying God's Word and preparing for their teaching. But most of us, like you and me, just kind of ordinary women, balancing, you know, trying to run our households and all the other responsibilities, we can't do that. So I would say, you know, be well balanced. Look at your schedule and say, how much time am I giving each morning to my inner person, my relationship with God, my tag time? And then go ahead and give an equal amount of time to your outer appearance. I hope that this is helpful. I'm actually going to post on the web, on the 90-Day Jumpstart site, some links to some pictures so you can see how absolutely ridiculous and over the top these hairstyles really were. And that is what Peter was talking about. He was talking about being well balanced. Now, I want to go ahead and be practical. Now that we've kind of, I hope I've given at least some kind of a biblical sense of what the Bible is talking about. We looked at the Old Testament where God said, yeah, you know, I did make women beautiful. That's okay. You know, why would God create men to be stimulated by beauty and then tell their wives, make sure you're ugly? Because I'll tell you one thing, ladies. When your husband goes out into the world, he is surrounded all day by women who are knocking themselves out to look beautiful. And I'm not making an excuse for anyone's husband, but I'm dealing in reality. I mean, that's my commitment to you, is to try to coach you along to becoming the women that God would want you to be. And I think that God wants us to be attractive to our husbands. And, you know, I'm going to say something a little bit radical here, but take it in balance. I think that the Middle Eastern women may be onto something more than we are, okay? And I've spent a lot of time in the Middle East, and I've spent a lot of time with Middle Eastern people, a lot. I mean, a lot. If you know anything about my life story, you know that. They are astonished, sisters, and they think we've got it backwards, and I absolutely believe that they're right. They say, now, let me understand this. In the Middle East, when a woman is at home, well, let me do it the other way. When a woman goes out in public, she definitely covers her hair because that's considered something very, very beautiful and alluring. She may cover her body. She'll certainly wear loose clothes. Or she may even wear, you know, a chador or a hijab and, you know, maybe over the top with it. A lot of Middle Eastern women are just, you know, are just fabulous. You know, they're modest. They wear a headscarf. They wear like kind of a jean, you know, long jacket kind of thing and maybe a pair of jeans and high heels like in Turkey. They look fabulous. But the point is, when they go out in public, they're not trying to look their most beautiful. When they go out in public, they're trying to maybe cover up their beauty. But when they're home, girlfriends, I'm telling you what, even the woman in a chador, when she gets home and takes that off, a lot of them are absolutely fabulous. They are in designer clothes. They are in real pearls. They are in gold. I mean, they look spectacular. Because when they're home, that's when they want to look their best to be attractive to their husbands. And they are astonished that women in North America do the opposite. That when we're home, we're just at our frumpy, you know, not even doing anything with our hair, not doing anything with makeup, just, you know, slouching around, oh, it's just my husband. Then when we're getting ready to go out, then we try to make ourselves look beautiful. That's what's backwards, sister. That's what's backwards. We should try to be our most beautiful in front of our husband. I hope somebody's getting this. And some of you want to jump through the phone and smack me. I'm just trying to get you thinking. We should be beautiful. We should be at our most beautiful for our husband. But I think when we're going out with our husband somewhere, again, perfectly okay for a woman to look attractive. And in everything that I've said tonight, if you're a married woman, the opinion that matters most is not mine, not even, I'm going to be bold, yours. The opinion that matters most is your husband's. And my guess is that 9 out of 10 husbands, probably 99 out of 100 husbands, would love for their wife to look her most beautiful, to take care of her skin, to take care of her hair, to be fit, to be attractive. Most men want their wives to look their very best. Now, I have some real practical ideas this week, and one of them is choosing a core color. Now, again, some of these things, you know, I get the emails, you know, what does it matter what color we wear? Well, you know, first of all, the objective here is always the same. The objective here is to simplify your life and to liberate you from things that don't matter so that you can focus on things that do matter. And so the reason to simplify your wardrobe by picking one color and sticking with it is so that, you know, you don't have 9 different color shoes and 10 different color purses and, you know, this mix-match, nothing goes together wardrobe that takes up 90% of the closet and gives your poor husband the remaining 10%, you know. Let's simplify, ladies. Let's find the one core color that looks best on us and then streamline the wardrobe so that everything coordinates with that. You will need far less clothes. You'll take up far less closet space. You'll spend far less time getting dressed when you're getting ready to go out. And it'll just make your life so much easier, and you will look better. And I give you outline in the book of what those core colors are. It's just really, really very simple. In fact, let me just go over that real quickly. If you're like me, you've got dark hair and dark eyes, I've got brown hair, brown eyes, then your core color is black. Everything in your closet should go with black. If you've got dark hair and blue or hazel eyes, then you've got to kind of go by your skin tone. If you have dark skin, you go with black. If you have light skin, like my daughter, Leah, she takes after my father, who was from Northern Ireland. So she's got the dark hair, the blue eyes, but the pale, pale, you know, skin, the alabaster white skin. So she can't wear black. She looks terrible in black. I know, because when she was 15, she never wore anything but black. She went through her goth stage, you know. But we prayed our way through that. Hallelujah. And so if she's got light skin, then her color is navy. And if she sticks with that, she's going to look fabulous, fabulous. If you've got blonde hair, navy. Red hair, brown. And I find, actually, that the redhead ladies usually get it right, and they usually look the best. And then if you've got kind of a sandy hair with brown eyes, you'll look terrific in camel. So, again, this may not be something that you can do overnight, but if you can begin working for it, it will really simplify your life. One thing that I've done a few different times, once I did it in a community setting and once we did it kind of at the church, everybody brought their accessories. We had one that was an accessory exchange. Everyone brought their belts, their purses, their shoes that were in the wrong color. Okay, like I admitted, I had all this navy blue stuff. Wrong. I didn't need to wear navy blue. So So all of that stuff I brought, and other women had brown, other women had black, whatever, and we brought it all together, and we had like little finger foods, and we exchanged accessories. It was wonderful. It was wonderful. This is something you could so easily do in your neighborhood, at your church, part of your small group, whatever. And then the other thing that we did, and this is much more elaborate, but was also really cool, was a clothing exchange. And so, you know, not your junk. I mean, your junk, throw away. But, you know, your really good stuff, go ahead and have the women all bring it that's not in the right color and exchange and trade off and just trust God that if you give up, you know, the wrong color skirt or sweater or whatever, that God's going to replace it. The other thing that you can do, especially in this economy, is go to a consignment shop. I wouldn't try a yard sale with clothes because I find that they don't really bring much money in at a yard sale, but rather try maybe a consignment shop or eBay, Craigslist, you know, something like that. But, you know, get, you know, find a good home for those items that you're getting, that you're moving out of your closet, and so that it becomes a stewardship opportunity. It becomes an opportunity to become a blessing to someone else. And we really had a lot of fun. I would say that the accessory clothes, the accessory exchange was really by far the most successful and the most effective and kind of easy to do. So those were kind of my main ideas. The other thing, and this is another challenge that I put out to you this week, and that's kind of finding a range of weight to kind of aim for. I drove myself crazy for many years trying to hit one number on the scale. You don't need to do that. That's crazy making. We're women and our weight fluctuates depending on what time of the month it is, or, you know, if we went to a barbecue or whatever. So don't make yourself crazy. Use the index that I include there in the book. You know, get your height and all that. Find the range in there that's normal. And I think it's about a 10-pound spread, maybe in that range. And stay within that range. Try to get down to it and then stay within it. And sisters, it's just weigh yourself every morning. And if you start to get to the high end of normal for you, then you need to do two things. You need to eat less. Well, actually, you can eat as much as you want, but eat less of the world's food. Let me say it that way. Eat less of the world's food and eat more of God's food. Increase your vegetable and water intake and lower your intake of man-made foods. And, of course, exercise more. You know, in addition to your walk, maybe do some little... My big thing now is like push-ups against the wall, because I can't do it on the floor. It hurts my wrist. But I like kind of push in and out from the wall. The other thing that I do a lot is like when I'm in the shower, when I'm brushing my teeth, I just pick up a bottle and I'll just kind of do a tricep lift over my head, or, you know, if I'm standing in line, I'll just kind of stretch my legs, or people think I'm crazy, but I don't really care. You know, just whatever to stay kind of healthy. But I think we need to make a decision that with God's help, we're going to get to a reasonable weight. Again, not supermodel, ridiculous thin, but a normal, healthy weight, using the index as your guide. And once we get to that weight, we're just going to make a commitment that the Holy Spirit has given us the fruit of self-control, and we're going to use that fruit to be wise stewards of our clothing budget. And we're not going to run out to the store every time, you know, our weight starts to, you know, push us to the next size and get a new wardrobe. We're going to say, God, you've given me the Holy Spirit within me. I have self-control. I just need to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit in my life and stick to this one-size wardrobe. And, you know, I mentioned in the book that I have a friend who's in her 60s, and she always looks terrific, and she rarely buys new clothes. She has good quality clothes. Some of it she's worn for decades because she buys things that are made of, again, God-made fabrics are the best. Wool. Wool and cotton, things like this, rather than the man-made polyester. Silk is fabulous. I have a silk skirt that I have worn almost every weekend when I have events. I have worn it at almost every event for the last, I'm not kidding you, 12 or 13 years. And it still looks as good as new. Well, now the zipper ripped, so I've got it. I've got to take that to the dry cleaner and get it fixed. But you know what? It really pays to get one really good wool jacket, one really nice kind of silk skirt. I'm thinking this weekend I wore another silk skirt that I've had. I guarantee I've had it for 10 years. And I wear it all the time when I'm on the road. So, again, this doesn't need to be more money. I'm talking about it's going to cost you less money. Because you're going to buy quality clothes with God-made fabrics instead of man-made fabrics. You're going to eat God-made food instead of man-made food. You're going to look better. You're going to feel better. And it's going to save you money and time. You know, I've had an interview today with First Magazine. And one of the things that I was sharing with them, they're interviewing me about my book, Becoming the Woman I Want to Be. And one of the things that I shared with them was how depressing it was when I had gained, you know, so much weight. And I'm open about this. After my father died, I just really fell into that emotional eating and just gaining weight. And I was down to literally, sisters, two skirts. Not kidding you. Two skirts that I could fit. It was all that was left. Nothing else fit me. But I was determined that I was going to wear those two skirts, and they were literally falling apart at the bottom, literally fraying. But I was going to continue wearing them every day until, by the power of the Holy Spirit, He healed that part of my soul that was just out of control and eating emotionally, and that I could get back to a healthy size. And I'm so happy to tell you that right now I can go into my closet and I can fit everything in there. I can fit every item in my closet. And it's just such a blessing because it was so depressing day after day. In fact, you know what I did one day? I opened up that closet and I put away everything that couldn't fit me, which was basically my entire closet. I put my entire closet away into bins. And I'll tell you what a day it was. I mean, I was crying. You guys can picture the whole thing. But I hope that some of these tips are helpful to you tonight. This is just kind of a mini teleseminar. Go ahead and post in if you have questions. I see some of you have questions. You can also call in if you want. I have maybe just a couple more minutes that I can take some calls or answer some questions. And then I'm going to be a mom and take my daughter to her audition. I see Jen saying her husband commented on how he liked that I'd gotten new makeup and a makeover at one of the beauty counters. Yeah, your husband wants you to look attractive. You know, again, we're not trying to go out and you know, be attractive to strangers. One of my favorite lines in the song, I think, is a Carly Simon song, and says, "You do not have to prove to me that you're beautiful to strangers." Do you guys get that? You don't have to prove to me that you're beautiful to strangers. You know, be beautiful for God, be beautiful for yourself, be beautiful for your husband. You know, my children tell me all the time, and please, I got a kind of a nasty email today from someone who said that I was proud and, you know, something or another, which really I hope you guys know is not true at all. But my children tell me all the time, "Mommy, we're so glad that we don't have to be embarrassed of you when we go out in public." And because they have friends who say that to them, who say to them, "You're so lucky that your mom takes care of herself. You're so lucky that when you go out with your mom, she looks nice." I'm telling you, sisters, my kids tell me, and their friends say this, that they wish their moms would take care of themselves. Because, you know, especially when they're teenagers, they want their mom to look pretty and to look nice. So I'm just throwing that out for you to think about, not only your husband's, but I think your children want you to look attractive. Haley's also saying that she's found this helpful. Jen, send me your picture with green eyes, blonde hair. Probably navy is not. Navy would not be your color with green eyes. So, Jen, if you send me your picture, I'll go ahead and give you some suggestions on what would be a great color for you. Others? It depends on your age. As we age, it may be that you should wear pastel blues, wear a cornflower blue or a baby blue. my daughter, my teenager, she does like navy. She does a lot of jeans and jean jackets, but all of her shirts, she finally listened to me, all of her shirts are pastels, and it looks just absolutely terrific on her. Any other questions before I shift back into mommy mode? If not, I'm going to go ahead and close us with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the women who have faithfully pressed on with a 90-day jumpstart to a new you. Lord, I pray that you would continue to do a work that their family members, their husbands, their children, if they have coworkers, friends, people at church, would really begin to notice the changes that you are bringing about in their life and even in their appearance, God. And I pray that, you know, we want to be in balance and we don't want to be crazy and vain and proud or any of those things. But we want to look our best, God, and we want to make our husbands proud in a healthy way. We want to make our children proud, and even we want to make our Heavenly Father proud in a very healthy sort of way. And so, God, I pray that you would give us balance, all of those things. Lord, I thank you that we are women and that you have made us to be beautiful. I pray that you would bless each of these women coming week and give them courage and strength as they go to their closets and begin to sort through, and that they would take great joy in giving away items that are going to look better on someone else than they'll look on them, that they would actually take great joy in that process, and also that their husbands will be happy when they look in and see all that nice extra space in the closet. And I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Sisters, thanks so much for joining us this evening. This is Donna Parteau with the 90-Day Jumpstart to a New You. Good night.